This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Prairie Studios. The ultra-locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 360-degree circle to keep a sin photostatism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Shane? Can you feel it?
I feel it. It's working.
Can you feel the healing power of the Fiends? And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows to be used by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, what's new and exciting? What's going on in your world, Shane?
Well, I'm still adjusting to this particular sleep schedule of being on late at night and then up again early in the morning. But, so I get about half my night's sleep before the show and then the other half afterwards.
And, I used to try to do that, and I still try to do it, and I still fail at it. There once was a time where I could come home from work and take my cat nap around like 7 o'clock, something like that. It was called Katzennappen because I made up German words to
right.
Counterfeit German words to cheapen and devalue the language so that it just disappears like the Zimbabwe dollar. But anyway, yeah, I used to be able to do the little catnap thing, and I'm just not able to do it anymore. So I have to lay down and do like the power nap relaxation, kind of like go on standby mode.
Yeah.
And then after the show, that's when I actually try to get some regular sleep. And right. Usually, I fall asleep pretty quickly. It's just when I wake up, I don't feel at the top of my game.
I'm not one of those who do fall asleep quickly. And on an early night when I get home, I'm not home until 7 at the earliest. And sometimes I'm not even home until after midnight. So if I had a show on one of those nights, I'd have to rush home and get on right before the show. Barely have any time.
Okay. Do you always have trouble falling asleep?
Yes, actually, I do.
Okay. How long has that been going on?
Probably as long as...
Lay down on the couch and tell us what's happening here with you.
Well, this has been going on for as long as I can probably remember. I've always been sort of a high-strung individual, and it takes me a while to unwind. So at night, I'll lay there and try to go to sleep, but my mind's going 100 miles an hour. All thinking about, like, you know, what if this, what if that, you know, did I do this, did I do that? I have a whole checklist of things that go on in my head when I'm trying to sleep.
Very interesting. Tell me about your relationship with your parents. Now, I used to have the same problem too, and then a couple of years ago I was able to just kind of let go of the nonsense and everything else, and I didn't have that phenomenon of worrying about every darn thing under the sun. So I could actually lay down and not contemplate every mistake that I had ever made in my entire lifetime, nor worry about the things that could possibly go wrong tomorrow. I just laid down and went to sleep.
Yeah, that's a gift. You should appreciate it.
Well, I don't know if I should think of it as an accomplishment of sorting my mental health out and really assessing what is worth giving time to and dismissing what is not worth giving time to. I don't know if it's sad or if I'm old now and I can't stay awake long. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
But I don't know.
One thing I can tell you. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was going to say that in my old age, I'm 40 now. I'm going to be 41 soon. But I actually sleep less now than I did when I was in my 20s. In my 20s, you know, I would stay up late, but I would sleep in also. And now, I used to get at least maybe 6 hours of sleep. And now, you know, I would love to get 6 hours of sleep.
You know what? I kind of have the same thing going on because I will wake up, and this started probably right before Liberty Fest. I will wake up somewhere between 6 and 6:30. It doesn't matter what time I go to sleep. It doesn't matter what time I go to bed. I'm going to wake up between 6 and 6:30 in the morning.
Wow,
awesome. I wake up before my alarm goes off. But here's the thing: I've been up till like 3 or 4 in the morning. Wake up at 6.
Wow.
I go to sleep at 11, wake up at 6. It's not like I'm waking up because I have to go potty or anything like that. You know. Oh, by the way, that coffee commercial has it wrong. The best part of waking up is rolling over, going back to sleep after you go to the bathroom. But anyway, I really have no idea what's going on. There's like some sort of alarm clock inside my body
that's waking me up. It seems like your body's probably in tune with the natural circadian rhythm of the Earth's rotation, which people can get synchronized to that. And you wake up about 4 minutes before your alarm, because the day is actually not quite 24 hours long. The Earth's rotation takes 23 hours and 56 minutes to complete, so that each day actually happens about 4 minutes sooner or something like that. So that's why, like, when you're in tune with that rhythm, you actually do wake up before the alarm clock, because the alarm clock is about 4 minutes behind.
I had absolutely no idea about any of that stuff.
I used to actually be synchronized to the circadian rhythm, and I could also wake up at the same time every day without an alarm clock. There was many years when I used to get by without an alarm clock and just wake up automatically, but it's been a long time since I've been able to do that, and I'm jealous of people who can.
So how does one get synchronized? Is this like some sort of accomplishment, or is it just some random thing?
No, there are ways you can actually do it. It usually happened random for me, but you can do it on purpose. If you try to you should go to bed at the same time every day, but forcing yourself to wake up at the same time every day will kind of program your internal clock to always do that. And once you start doing that, you should start getting sleepy around the same time every day also, and your sleep schedule will get very even and regular.
You know what? I do get sleepy around the same time every day, 2 p.m.,
Is that when you take your siesta?
I wish.
Yeah.
Some reason I just get the yawns at that time of day.
There ought to be a law that we should all get a siesta every day.
If only laws actually made things happen. So yeah. But that is really interesting with the what would you say it's called, the circadian rhythm?
It's called the circadian rhythm. Yeah.
Okay, what does that stand for? What's the meaning of that?
Well, I'm really not. Circadian, I think, has to do with like cycles. I'm not sure if it's like another word or a synonym for cycles. And it has to do with, like, you know, the 24-hour cycle. We have our weekly and monthly cycles, yearly cycles, all that kind of stuff.
Wow. That's something I might have to look into if I get an extra couple minutes.
Yeah, there's actually, I read a book on it once, and I think that's what originally taught me how to do it, and I got into the habit, and it just started happening without even trying.
Anything else interesting going on?
Well, we do have Derek Bros and the Conscious Resistance Tours Decentralized, or Conscious Resistance Network's Decentralize Your Life Tour, coming to Cincinnati on Monday, August 14th. And if anyone is actually listening right now, is in the Cincinnati area, you guys should come out to that. You can check out the event page on the Conscious Resistance Network's Facebook page, or you can go to the ConsciousResistanceNetwork.com.
And they will be in Flint, Michigan, I believe, on Saturday.
That's right. And I think they are also stopping in Chicago this week as well.
Yeah, they're currently, I think, in Minnesota. Because I know that they had Milwaukee and I think a couple other Wisconsin things. But I have some friends in the Minneapolis area. And that's I believe, it might even be tomorrow that they're going to be, that Derek's going to be in there.
Yeah,
but I met him a couple of years ago when he was in Detroit. He did an interview with Dale Brown of Threat Management Center.
Yeah.
And I also did an interview with him, but Derek was also doing a story on some folks that were rehabbing an old public school and turning into like a community center. It was a old public school that was abandoned, and they were gutting and cleaning all the crud out of it, and so he went and did a little story on that. So I got a chance to meet him a couple of years ago. I drove him around for a little bit, and a real nice guy.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, they're going to be staying with us, Jack Sparrow and Derek Bros and Miriam and the rest of the crew, they're going to be, well, we're going to start actually in French Park on Monday, I think around 2 p.m., and they're going to have something called OP Helping Hands, which is it's a Feed the Homeless event, and they're going to be preparing bag lunches and sandwiches and stuff like that to be handed out for the homeless. And then I think at 4 o'clock, they're moving over to French Park, and they're going to have Justin King. He's going to be giving a speech. They're going to be teaching self-defense. I think there's going to be a yoga class, and Derek's also going to be giving a speech talking about his new book, Manifesto of the Free Humans, and basically how to create freedom cells, which are like localized networks within your community that are like liberty outreach programs of various types that you can grow, you know, from a local to a regional and so on. It's loosely based on Samuel Edward Konkin's New Libertarian Manifesto, which is the principles and practices of agorism, and that's exactly what the Conscious Resistance Network is doing with this tour, is putting the principles and the practices of agorism into action in ways that we can all see more freedom for ourselves and our communities.
Okay, and for somebody that's tuning in that's not really familiar with this, you know, let's say they found us on accident maybe, or they're interested and they're kind of new and they're just starting out, how would you define agorism for them?
Well, I guess agorism is, I guess define it as the free market or the sum of all voluntary interaction in a way. I mean, it has to do with economics, but it also has to do with, you know, morality and ethics too. But simply, it's just all voluntary human interaction. But I guess would be in opposition to the state. Specifically.
All right, that's an important part. The agora, I believe, is Greek for the market, and And agorism is a strategy of counter-economics. So what it does is it seeks to undermine the parasitic state that, you know, it's, I've seen a post recently, and, well, we'll talk about it when we come back. Basically, the communists are doing everything they can to stamp out capitalism. We'll be back.
Arms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, things about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon.
Woof. Talk for a minute, Shane, while I look.
All right. And we're back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Shane, and I'm here with Lou.
Yeah.
And just before the break, I'm really not sure what we were talking about because I didn't keep notes.
We were talking about agorism.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we were talking about agorism, which is basically, you know, the free market, but it's not really that simple. I think Samuel Edward Konkin did define agorism as like all voluntary human interaction. It was in opposition to the state. And I think I've heard it argued that there wouldn't necessarily, if there was no state, there wouldn't be agorism. But I still think the agora itself would exist regardless of the presence of a state or not. What do you think?
Yeah, the market is always there. The market is a driving force. It's, you know what? It's like the force is... for humans, it's what the Force is to like the Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my story.
Okay.
I'm sticking to it.
All right.
So I think, when I think about this, what exactly is the market? As you just mentioned, I believe Kotkin said that it's all voluntary human interactions. So I mean, it's not just dollars and cents, buying and selling, producing and manufacturing and distribution and stuff like that. It's human action, like Mises has written about. But the thing about it is it's a cooperation that you can never get out of anything else. Statism isn't really a cooperation. It's more of a compulsion. If you look at a pure socialistic system, I'm not talking about state socialism like Venezuela, East Germany, the Soviet Union, North Korea, or anything like that. I'm talking about a bunch of people that get together and are committed to their socialistic principles of from each according to his ability to each according to his need and all this other stuff. And they go in there and they're serious about that. That is actually cooperative. It's utopian as all get out, and it probably won't last very long, but that is cooperative because you have a bunch of people that have gotten together and said, all right, this is how we're going to live our lives or die of starvation trying. And they go out there and they do these things like die of starvation. And they're really committed to starving to death, and they put forth as much effort as they can to do it. Now,
well,
in comparison,
I think that's more of an unintended consequence.
For as many times as it's happened, I don't think it's unintended anymore. You can only make a mistake so many times before it's no longer a mistake and it's a choice. But in contrast to that, if you take a state socialist system, the German Democratic Republic is a prime example. The former East Germany, it's run strictly on compulsion. And hell, the number one prosecuted crime in East Germany was not snitching on your neighbors if they were disloyal or engaged in any other illegal activity. And you're assigned a job over at this factory and you gotta go, and you can kind of futz around a little bit because nothing really gets accomplished in socialist countries, but you're always at a great risk of getting executed for one thing or another in a country like East Germany.
Yeah, it seems like, or you're going to go to the gulag, one of the two.
They don't have gulags in East Germany, and that's a Russian word, I believe.
Oh, okay.
They call it something else. But anyway, speaking of socialists and communists stomping out capitalism, I wasn't able to find the particular article here, but it was the Citrus County. I don't know if it's sheriff's office or sheriff's department, but anyway, I had seen a post earlier today, and they were so proud of their operation of going out and getting all these unlicensed businesses off the street. People that didn't have all their licenses and permits. I think I found it here. So, yeah, bear with me for just a second. Okay, Joint Operation Targets. And this is Citrus County Sheriff's Office. I'm not sure where this is. I'll figure that out sooner or later. We'll disclose that information. But anyway, Joint Operation Targets unlicensed contractors. Citrus County, over the past few weeks, the Citrus County Sheriff's Office Tactical Unit, or Tactical Impact Unit, has teamed with the State of Florida's Department of Bureau and Professional Regulation and the Citrus County Licensing Division to conduct an undercover operation targeting unlicensed contractors offering services within our community. Ghastly, the horrors of it.
Meow.
We'll be back. Build your courage up during the break.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of driving your kids to G.G. Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where G.G. took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the G.G.iest place on Earth. G.G. always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to G.G.'s grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find G.G. Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating G.G. Allen's face.
Meow.
Woof. Freedom Fiends, and we are about to talk about some very, very scary stuff. Hold your kitties tight. We're going to discuss people that are providing services in their community in exchange for money. Oh my gosh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, actually, the scary thing is the KGB of Citrus County is doing everything that they can to stomp out capitalism here. So, anyway, a little recap. The multi-agency operation utilized an undercover residence within our community to facilitate the sting. The Department of Business and Professional Regulation contacted people posting as handyman or home repair to social media. Others were targeted after the DBPR, or the Citrus County Licensing Division, received complaints of unlicensed activity having been performed by specific suspects. These handymen pose as contractors or do not have the proper licensing to perform specific home repairs. According to the Citrus County Licensing Division, tasks that a handyman can complete without a licensing include but are not limited to painting, trim work, cabinetry, and flooring. Those arrested during the investigation agreed to do work that was considered structural, meaning major repairs such as replacing exterior doors and windows were to be performed for compensation. Oh no! Many of those arrested agreed to complete electrical, air conditioning, or plumbing work as well. Such tasks require proper licensing and permitting. DBPR is proud to announce, or is proud to partner with the Citrus County Sheriff's Office to proactively combat unlicensed activity in Florida, said DBPR Secretary Ken Lawson. Unlicensed individuals take advantage of Florida consumers by offering to make repairs for dubiously low prices. Maybe they're dubiously low because they don't have the cost of entry into the market of paying mm-hmm. for expensive licensing and all that other crud. But anyway,
right.
Performing substandard work and often leaving without finishing the job. Is that really restricted to unlicensed people? No.
Not at all.
No. To avoid potential financial and safety risks, consumers should always verify a contractor's license with DBPR prior to hiring them to work on their home or businesses. Let's see now. To date, the operation has arrested 13 people on various charges, including 12 counts of contracting without a license, 11 counts of contracting without an electrical license, 2 counts of driving while license suspended or revoked, 1 count of possession of prescription drugs without prescription, 1 count of possession of cannabis under 20 grams, 1 count of possession of paraphernalia,
Let's see now. Okay. All right, they're going into names. It's more of the same. Yeah, it's more of the same garbage. So not having a license to do something. And interestingly enough, and I believe this quote is attributed to a friend of the Fiends, Mark Edge from Free Talk Live, a license is when government takes away your right to do something, but then sells it back to you for a price.
Worms.
So what are your thoughts after hearing what's going on with this nonsense here? What pops into your mind?
Well, first off, I had no idea that quote was attributed to Mark Edge, which is pretty cool. Second off, a lot of these guys performing services that were unregulated by the government were most likely doing so more cheaply and more efficiently than the government could have, you know, provided those things. The licensed contractors probably could have provided them. But for those kind of people, I would say that itself is agorism. That's the free market in action. You see, the free market private individuals come along and they undercut these services that have these artificial barriers to entry, such as licensing and so forth, which artificially inflates the prices of these services. So these people are able to provide...
By reducing the supply of the services available.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not just licensing. There's a lot of compliance that's a requirement for it. And many businesses are complaining about the cost of compliance with regulation these days. In fact, many businesses have had to hire people just to make sure that the business is in compliance with all the different government regulations.
Yeah.
So go ahead, continue.
Oh, well, I was going to say, these people are good examples of agorists who are providing a necessary service in many cases. And if there was ever not a government and there was no licensing required, then these are the types of people that we would be, you know, having our services provided by. We could probably have a choice of various services to choose from when it comes to like things that the government has monopolized, like say police. For example, in Detroit, we might have mentioned earlier Viper Threat Management, which was created by Dale Brown, is a private security company which is like kind of like taking the place of the police. And in the future, I could see a lot of places doing this where they have multiple security agencies that you could choose from, and your particular neighborhood or whatever, you know, could be policed by the security agency of your choice. And that's just one.
I do want to correct you on one thing. You said that it would take the place of the police. No, it wouldn't, because the police, their job is law enforcement. What threat management does is security and protection.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that.
So, now, one of the things that... All right, go ahead. Continue.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, to people like that who are providing services like that in the face of the government, like, you know, defying the government, I say thank you for your service, because if it wasn't for people like that, we would be stuck using, you know, the monopoly services of the government. We would be paying more money for less quality and less service.
Yeah, the politically connected. Now, I can't find my comment on here because it's a pretty heavy-duty thread here. And there's a fair amount of people saying, wow, you know, thanks for interrupting commerce and everything. But here's what you have to remember, and this is something that happened in Detroit also. In Detroit, it was called Operation Compliance, and I believe it was the previous mayor, Dave Bing. He went on this great tear about talking about all these businesses that were going to be shut down, all these unlicensed businesses that were out of compliance. They hadn't met all their requirements of buying permission slips to engage in commerce and stuff like that. We live in a very fragile economy at this time. Things are doing better than they were back in 2008, but only in certain regards. And when you have people that are self-employed like this, you know what? This is entrepreneurship. This is what supposedly Republicans are supposed to take pride in and promote. Entrepreneurship. Go out, own your own business. Be your own boss. Go out and build something. Well, these people are doing that. But because they're not doing it in accordance with the mountain of government regulation, they're considered criminals, they're considered outlaws. And what Citrus County is doing is they are crushing businesses out there. They're taking people that have found a way to support themselves without being welfare parasites like cops or politicians. And they're actually going out there and they're providing a service to the public. And what's going to happen when these people get busted? Well, the unemployment rate is going to go up. So the Citrus County Sheriff's Department is actively seeking to increase the number of unemployed people out there. They're actively seeking to put businesses out of business. They're trying to force them out. They're trying to crush business like the KGB did in the Soviet Union. Because in the Soviet Union, you couldn't have capitalism. You couldn't have the black and gray markets, which were known as creeping capitalism, because that was against the state ideology of state socialism, where everything, where all economic activity is controlled and owned by the state. So yeah. Thank you, comrades at the Citrus County Sheriff's Department. Now, going back to the Detroit, and I was talking about Operation Compliance. In Detroit, their goal was to shut down 20 of these businesses per week. Now, what are these types of businesses? Well, it's the backyard mechanic, the person who folks come to the neighborhood, you know, and they know this guy, so they're going to have him do a brake job, or they're going to have him do some repairs, and he's going to charge less. Now, he's probably going to use substandard materials, meaning he's going to buy used parts from the junkyard rather than going in and buying brand new stuff at the auto parts store. Now, the people going to purchase these products, they understand this. They know that this is the case because this is how they've been doing business for quite some time. And yes, it's true that it's not going to be a brand new whatever that part is. But just because it's used doesn't mean that it doesn't work. And the fact that it's going to cost them a heck of a lot less, because we're talking about people that don't have a whole lot of money. And being that I just bought new tires for my truck and I'm looking at some brake work coming up, the tires were almost $900. That's just for four tires. And to get the brake work done, that's going to cost a few hundred dollars more. And if you're somebody who doesn't have a few extra dollars to throw around, you need to cut those costs because you just can't afford it. So your choice is get substandard materials or not have a vehicle. And when you live and work in Detroit and you can't rely on the public bus system, you know, not having a vehicle is not an option, because if you tell an employer that you ride the bus, you're not going to get hired because the buses are that unreliable.
Yeah.
Now, here's something else. These businesses that they're going after, it's not just the backyard mechanic or the person who has a garage that's not registered. It's the woman who caters for different parties and stuff like that, or sells things out of her house. It's just unbelievable number of things that there's a demand for that these people are willing to provide.
Yeah. Like cutting or braiding hair, even.
Yeah, cutting or braiding hair. Simple stuff like that. Now, these businesses that they're targeting, they only make up 20% of the total businesses of Detroit. But they serve 80% of the population. So what the mayor's office was doing at this time was he was targeting the options of 80% of his constituents. He was telling 80% of his constituents that, no, you can't have this cheaper option.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So let's talk about, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the concerns that there may be over an agorist business person, and we're going to kind of destroy those BS arguments. We'll be back.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
We are back and we are talking about the Citrus County Sheriff's Office and their Department of Destroying Commerce. And the comments on here are wonderful. It gives me a little bit of hope for humanity because people are pointing out that rape kits are going untested and murders are being left unsolved so that the police can go out and chase revenue. Unfortunately, there's a bit of support for this nonsense here. And this is from, I saw this guy's comments earlier. His name is Bill. He's a roofing contractor. So it sounds like he has a dog in this fight. As a matter of fact, if he's big enough, he'd probably lobbied for a lot of these restrictions and barriers to entry against new actors entering the market. And he says, I would really like to see if there's even one person who posted against these arrests that actually has a license in Florida in the construction industry. Just a wild guess. Not a single person. Well, probably, you know, they probably don't have it because, you know, they understand that that's a shakedown and everything else. But some of his other comments, if you have your life savings tied up in your home and an unlicensed person burns it down. Now, keep in mind that a license doesn't guarantee that you're good at what you do because there's plenty of licensed contractors that get complaints against them on a regular basis. Matter of fact, absolutely. In the state of Michigan, the Attorney General's office has a special division to deal with these auto shops and contractors and all this other stuff that do a lousy job. Unfortunately, they don't apply the same consumer protection laws to politicians and stuff like that. Could you imagine if the fraud laws were enforced on campaign promises? Wow, that'd be awesome. So anyway, if you have your life savings tied up in your home and an unlicensed person burns it down, okay, even if it was an accident, you will be in a fight for your life to recover damages. You're probably out of luck and still owe the balance on the mortgage. Again, it happens every single day. Does it really?
I kind of doubt that.
Sure it doesn't. Yeah. That's why the cops are cracking down on this. People are getting screwed hard. Okay. Call your insurance company and see if you can get insurance for using unlicensed contractors. Don't think so, Pookie. Not going to happen. Most policies spell it out in plain English. Gee, I wonder why that is. Do you think that might have something to do with the requirement of a license?
Most likely.
Because, you know, once again, a license doesn't convey skill or expertise. It doesn't make a person safer. What it shows is they paid an application fee. They took a test. And I've been licensed in a couple of industries. They took a test, and they got 75% correct on the simplest freaking questions that could be asked about the subject. So if you pass a licensing test, it doesn't mean that you're knowledgeable. It just means that you answered 75% of basic questions correctly. You know, rather than a piece of paper from the government saying license, I might want to see something from a trade school that says that you completed. I might want to see a completion of apprenticeship from a reputable company. You know, you did your apprenticeship at ABC Roofing, and ABC Roofing is pretty good. Okay, I'm going to hire you to do this.
So, I might want to see some Yelp reviews.
Yeah. You know what? I might want to get a recommendation because I'm looking to hire people to do different work for me in the near future. I might want to get a recommendation from people I know, you know, my friends, coworkers, neighbors, things like that. Mm-hmm. So if I ask my buddy, you know, hey, who's a good person to come do the service on the furnace this year before winter comes around? And he's going to say, oh, well, you got to call this guy over here. He's unlicensed and he burned my house down, but you know what? He works cheap. No, it's not going to happen. He's not going to say that. You know, they're going to say, this is the guy that you hire. You know, he's got good prices. He does good work. So,
exactly.
So much fallacy here. So much nonsense. So much trying to crush the market and make people unemployed. So, yep, that's the job of law enforcement, to increase unemployment.
Revenue generation.
And we will be back with a special guest in the top of the hour.
Worms.
Yes, worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Board up.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LitPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents.
Yeah.
More, go to BIPCOT.org.
Bark, 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 bark.
And now for our next segment on Tourette's Syndrome, we welcome
board up.
W. Dean.
Board up. At least I don't cuss on air. Hey, I'd like to welcome Belle Fouche, South Dakota. Oh, wait.
I didn't know
they've been replaced by a robot that gets $15 an hour. So we're off for the next month in Belle Fouche. So if you're listening in Belle Fouche, you're not hearing this. Yeah. Yeah. Lou said something that sounded like us, but was not a cuss. He said, cop, as in a policeman, sucker, as in someone who loves cops even when they murder people. It's a common phrase, cop, sucker. Google it. It also is another word for a badge bunny. You guys know what a badge bunny is?
No, not really.
Guess.
Somebody who loves cops?
It's a cop groupie. Yeah, those exist.
Okay, makes sense.
Yes, yep. They do.
Yep. They're usually women who have been abused a lot in their life, so they're attracted to men who are abusive and or can kill people who try to abuse them and get away with it.
Mm.
All right, so this is Michael Dean. I've been on once in a month. I'm coming on as proof of life. I'm really, 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 really sick. And
earlier today somebody said, hey, tell Michael I said to get well soon. I said, I've been telling him that for a couple of years. He don't listen.
I know. Well, I was getting better. Finally got off pregnancy a few months ago and was like actually had more spoons than usual. Do you guys know spoon theory?
No.
Okay, spoon theory, I learned this today. It's a great term. It's from a website called youdontlooksick.com, which is for people who have diseases that are compromised immune stuff, like, or autoimmune diseases, or, you know, things like lupus and extremely severe asthma is what I have, and you know, yuppie flu, stuff that, like, you don't look sick, but you can't really function. And the lady who runs this website explained it to a friend of hers while they were out to lunch. She grabbed, like, 12 spoons from the spoon cart, set them down, and said, like, this is the spoonfuls of energy a normal person has when they're healthy. I have one quarter of this or less. I have one or two or three spoons a day of energy, and I have to allocate it. And that's how I've been for the past few years, to where, like, you know, I want to go downstairs and change the cat litter. Walking downstairs and walking back upstairs, I have to, like, strap on oxygen. I have to be well rested. And when I get back, I'm out of breath, and it takes me like 20 minutes to catch my breath. That's how my life was for about 2.5 years. Then I started getting better. And for people that don't know, this is from, like, you know, years of smoking cigarettes, basically. I smoked 2 packs a day average for 30 years. Quit and, you know, vaped for a few years. And then suddenly, like, my lungs just said no more and gave up. But then it came with a bunch of other allergy type stuff. I'm sure people are going to email me advice I don't need that doesn't work. I've tried all your advice, all of you. It doesn't work. But I was getting a lot better. And then I got viral pneumonia, which normally people can get rid of in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. I've had it for 6 weeks, and I still have it. It's not as bad as it was, like, a month ago, although I have kind of lost my voice, which is new. But, you know, I'm, like sweating so much that during the night I have to get up and change my shirt 4 or 5 times. You know, only have 1 or 2 spoons a day. Have to, like, think, oh, do I have energy to walk to the other end of the house and check the mail? I'll check it later, you know, that kind of stuff. It's hellish, but I have a positive attitude despite all that, because I'm a fiend. I'm a freedom fiend, and people kept writing me going, like, what is up? You haven't been on the show in a month. Like, the guy with cancer, John Vibes, can do the show, and I haven't been on the show. John was amused by that comparison, actually. So I'm hoping they can come up with a robot. It's $15 an hour that you can upload my brain into, and I can replace my body with it. So that's how we're going to segue. Any comments before we segue into robots?
I think we could get a better deal, especially as technology improves.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So there's this company. What's this company called, guys? Hirebotics. Chinette. No, Hirebotics. Well, this article is called Rise of the Machines, which is a Terminator reference. So there's a company that makes industrial robots that kind of look like a robotized human arm that can be programmed to do simple repetitive tasks like, you know, picking up a widget, putting it into the stamping machine, taking it out and putting it onto the conveyor belt. Stuff that, like, they're having trouble more and more finding people that can do this, even for $15 an hour. Like, people say, we need $15 an hour for everything. This company that's using one of these robots that's featured in this article is, you know, a machining company that is paying $15 an hour on the night shift, and they can't keep enough people. Like, they had enough people, and then someone got arrested for drugs, and then someone else had fibromyalgia or some, you know, autoimmune disease, and just people can't work well anymore for $15 an hour for some reason. So, robots. And think about the price of this. What's the deal with the price of this, guys?
People are shouting, fight for 15.
Yeah, so they decided they want
a $15 an hour minimum wage, which it means they'll get a 15% unemployment rate.
Yeah. So this company, clever as heck, company called Hirebotics, you know, so normally you'd have to, like, buy robots, and most people be like, oh, we can't really afford that. But this company will fly to your company and set them up and program them for you for $15 an hour, 80 hour a week minimum, you know, 2 shifts and like a 1 month contract. And companies are snapping them up. The thing is, when somebody, like, a $15 an hour robot is actually cheaper than a $10 an hour employee because of all the other costs involved in having an employee. Insurance,
workman's comp, unemployment insurance,
yeah,
social security.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, people have this misguided notion that when they get paid $10 an hour, that the only cost of the company is $10 per hour. No, it's much more than that. It's probably about 20, and in some cases, it could probably go up to around 30. Depending on all the requirements that go on with it. So,
yep.
You're getting, yeah, there's more than just $10 an hour.
I can't hire someone to do yard work and house stuff and cleaning for $15 an hour. I've tried. I had people for a while, but then they had problems. Then I had these two 18-year-old kids that were like wrestlers, like really strong. Friend of a friend sent them over. Like, they came over and they worked in my backyard for like 4 hours when it was like 90 to 95 degrees out, pulling weeds, like cleared the whole backyard for like 4 hours. We're happy to be paid $15 an hour. And then, like, I called one of them and said, hey, can you come back and do some vacuuming? Because I'm too sick to vacuum. And since I can't vacuum and my wife's too busy working, I end up like living in a house that's full of dust, which is not good when you're sick.
Right.
And this kid was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then he never showed up. He never called. He doesn't have voicemail set up because he's a kid. And, like, I went on Facebook on a, like, you know, people who will work group for my town, contacted a bunch of people. Like, one guy just couldn't get him to call me back. Other guy couldn't get him to call me back. I hired some people to do a porch for me. They gave me a quote. They showed up, like, 7 in the morning, like, ready to do it. I was ready to do it. I used one of my energy spoons to get, you know, out there and be able to talk to them. And, like, standing out there with an oxygen mask on or oxygen cannula on and carrying an oxygen bottle. And these guys showed up. And they're like, oh, this is going to cost a lot more than that. You know, and they tried to, like, double the price. And I was like, no. And they, like, looked at me like they were going to kill me and left. I ended up finally getting someone to do, like, twice that much work for the price they originally quoted. But, you know, it's hard to find people that are reliable for $15 an hour even.
Sounds like you need some robots.
I do, man. When are they going to be available at Walmart?
I heard the neighbor's grandkid cut grass for me when I was out of town one time.
I should probably fly him over. I should fly him here.
No, because I'm going to put him to work on some other stuff coming.
Okay. Yeah.
When I'm done with them, how much you give me to have them come work for you?
Oh, you going to get a cut? You going to get a finder's fee?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, I'll share my stable with you.
Yeah.
Why don't you give me to have him come over?
Al's listening. Al in Philly's listening. He's up working all night. He works a night shift somewhere. He's probably like screaming at his radio going, I'll come. Fly me out.
Al.
Al. Yeah,
Al. Call me Al?
Al's listening. Al's always listening at night. Yeah, because he works at night. Because he actually works, unlike apparently most of America now. So
the bottom line
is robots for $15 an hour are going to replace workers that a lot of these workers, they said in this article, like, you know, get hired, get trained and then split, you know, after like 3 weeks or something. People don't really want to work. Even people are deeply in debt, it seems like. So basically, if you're in Casper, Wyoming and you want to work, email me at bipcoin@gmail.com. That's Bravo India Papa Coin, C-O-I-N, @gmail.com. Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is really interesting. We're kind of watching, and I know this goes on every single generation, but I think we're watching society just absolutely devolve, degenerate, and just slide into the tar pit.
It's like we're witnessing the fall of the Roman Empire all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I the internet's losing its darn mind. I mean, we got people screaming that being called sweetheart is rape. all sorts of wacko stuff. A guy at Google sends an email to all his coworkers and gets fired for it. But here's the thing, and there's another argument to that is, what is he doing on company time with company resources? So, you know, you can assume that it's just censorship, but yeah, maybe they kind of expect him to do his job and not, like, send political messages out.
Ouch. I don't know that he did it in his own time.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
We're back. Freedom Fiends. I'm Shane. I'm here with Lou. Before the break, we were talking about robots and how they're taking our jobs. But not really.
Take our jobs!
Anyway, to wrap up this article about robots, basically when these robots started showing up at the work site, the people thought that the robots were actually there to take their jobs or replace them. But
they took our jobs.
Like Michael was saying, they were so short-handed and behind that the robots turned out to actually be a blessing rather than a curse. And they helped the employees to meet their quotas. And also because they were so short-handed, it helped them, you know, to get through the blah. I said it's so much better during the break. But anyway, when they thought these robots were going to, they originally thought these robots were going to take their jobs, but it ended up just helping them out with their jobs, at least the ones who stayed to work at the job, because a lot of people didn't stick around. They had problems, you know, with turnover and whatnot. So it turns out for the people who actually stuck around, the robots were a blessing and helped them be more productive. So, yeah.
Did they get along with the robots?
I'm sure they did. Well, I don't know.
Did they go on smoke break together?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure those robots were actually in fixed positions on the like assembly line or something.
So they didn't take a break. They made the humans look bad.
They did. The robots never took a break. All right.
So.
Well, shifting gears here. I don't know about you. But I've been really excited about the new season of Game of Thrones.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen a single episode. I don't know who the characters are. Nothing.
Well, basically, it's about, I think this is their seventh season now. And Game of Thrones is basically set in like a medieval fantasy type setting where there's these like seven kingdoms and everyone's vying for control of the seven kingdoms. Everyone wants to be king or queen, and all these different people take turns trying their power at the throne and exercising their rule over the kingdoms. Much to the detriment of the individuals that make up those kingdoms. So anyway, we have an article here from fee.org, the Foundation for Economic Education, and the title of the article is Game of Thrones is a Treatise on Absolute Power Corrupting Absolutely. And they are absolutely right. Let's see here. It goes on to say, power is a devastatingly addictive device. It can corrupt seemingly strong and moral men. It can lead to the slaughtering of entire civilizations, and it can bring long-held regimes to their knees. Once a person becomes consumed by the quest for power, individuals become nothing more than the pawns to be sacrificed in the name of maintaining order and control. So it has been since the beginning of governed societies, and so it will be as long as there are states to seize and wield. It is for this reason that Game of Thrones is such a compelling series. As the title implies, Game of Thrones is all about the pursuit of the crown in the fictional realm of Westeros. Not wanting to be plagued with an extreme case of FOMO, which I believe is flavor of the month, when the newest season finally aired and having a particular affinity for all forms of entertainment involving dragons, I spent much of the last 2 weeks of my life binge-watching the 6 completed seasons of the series. And then there's a quote from the series that says, "Maybe your mistake was trusting in kings." As I made my way through each episode, initially disturbed by all the blood, but eventually becoming somewhat desensitized to the number of heads being casually sliced off, I realized that all the violence perpetuated in the show was committed in the quest for power at the expense of the individual. Or to put it differently, all the lives being sacrificed were lost in the name of propping up the state.
I need to interrupt for a second. FOMO means fear of missing out. So it's described as anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere, often aroused by posts seen on social media website.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. There was a similar acronym that I was confusing it with. All right. To make matters worse, aside from a few exceptions, each of the seven kingdoms of Westeros is ruled by landholding lords who care more about maintaining their positions than the welfare of their own subjects. And while many of these lords, Ramsay Bolton and King Joffrey in particular, are heinous creatures drunk off their own authority and without any redeemable qualities, there are still serfs and military members who are all too willing to die to protect a leader who cares nothing for them. Even though history is replete with obedient subjects, I still couldn't understand why the people of Westeros were so eager to have someone rule over them. These rulers had nothing of value to offer their people aside from the false promise of security from foreign threats. And I hear the music.
That sounds familiar. We'll be back.
Yep. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Woof.
Woof, woof.
And we're back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Shane, and I'm here with Lou. And before the break, we were talking about Game of Thrones.
Yes. And there's one other thing that I want to throw in there. You had mentioned this in the very beginning of it. It's about absolute power corrupting absolutely. I believe the quote is attributed to, I believe, Robert Lefebvre. But he says that that the power is magnetic to the corruptible. So it's not that good people go into politics or good people become rulers and then all of a sudden become bad. Chances are they were probably bad to begin with because they sought to rule others.
Right.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the only type of person who would be attracted to that type of power is the type that would, you know, wield it over others involuntarily. But anyway, speaking of, Game of Thrones is full of examples of such things. And the article I was talking about here continues, and it says, even though history is replete with obedient subjects, I still couldn't understand why the people of Westeros were so eager to have someone rule over them. These rulers had nothing of value to offer their people aside from the false promise of security from foreign threats. Yet with each display of corrupt leadership came more unwavering loyalty. Even the Brotherhood Without Banners, which is a loosely structured group of individuals who refuse to pledge their allegiance to a particular lord, are still inclined to follow a leader. What all this inevitably boils down to, and what the show so poignantly demonstrates, is the age-old truth of absolute power corrupting absolutely, no matter which geographical region or ideological background it originated from. And while the series is most likely not meant to be a thesis on the nature of power and its impact on the individual, it undoubtedly is. But then there came a ray of light. As I watched the sixth season, I noticed the tides finally changing. The people were sick of fighting for causes that did not directly impact them. They were tired of making the ultimate sacrifice, even though they knew they would suffer oppression, regardless of who leads them. Trusting in government... Yeah.
Let me throw in something here. Going back to the people that are willing to step in front of an arrow or a sword or a bullet for the leader. Yeah, how does that happen? And I have a quote here, and this is very apt as the current administration is beating the war drum with North Korea. The country that doesn't even have electricity is going to enslave everybody here in America. The North Korean tanks will be driving up and down the streets of Des Moines, Iowa, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. The North Korean Navy, their carrier groups will be sailing up the Mississippi River and shooting people in St. Louis and all this other crap. And everybody here is going to wind up speaking North Korean unless something's done. But I have a quote here, and this, like I said, with the North Korea, and then also going to this Game of Thrones things, it sounds very, very apt. Why, of course, the people don't want war. Why would some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best that he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Mm-hmm. Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia, nor in England, nor in America, nor for that matter in Germany. That is understood. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it is a democracy or a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament or a communist dictatorship, which it sounds like four of the same thing. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for the lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in any country. And that's Hermann Göring, as told to Gustav Gilbert during the Nuremberg trials.
Interesting.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. It seems kind of relevant at the time.
It is. And the article goes on to say, trusting in governments had truly only made their lives worse. No king or lord was going to liberate them by keeping them in absolute servitude. In one of the last episodes of season 6, as two characters were discussing how they ended up in their predicament, one comments, "Maybe your first mistake was trusting in kings." How aptly this comment summarizes the entire problem human civilization has grappled with for years. Why do individuals place their trust in authoritarianism? Cast off your chains. Fear is one of the strongest human motivators. It can lead people to do things they never thought they were capable of doing. It can lead individuals to capitulate to the whims of leaders they believe will protect them in return. In what may be the most genius strategy ever executed in the fictional world, Daenerys Targaryen assumes her role as conqueror of Easteros by preying on the fears of enslaved populations and playing the role of hero in neighboring lands. With each land she conquers, she promises freedom to the local slave class so long as they sacrifice their lives to aid in her conquests. And while these enslaved people initially view her as their benevolent emancipator, she's merely a master of a more cunning variety. This situation could, for example, be likened to a nation claiming to be free while instituting a compulsory draft. It is freedom in name only. At the end of the day, the lives of each citizen are still pledged to whoever resides on the throne, and their only real value in the eyes of the ruler is as a dispensable body to stand in the way of an opposing army storming the castle. As her army steadily begins to grow and she continues to conquer each new government that stands in her way, Daenerys continues to speak of liberating those who have been mistreated by their former masters. While she probably has the most noble heart of any of the characters on the show, aside from the Starks, Jon Snow included, she still maintains her power through the use of force. Daenerys encourages her collection of free men to kill in her name with almost no discretion given to the matter. However, after a group of masters go on a killing rampage over the loss of their slave population, Daenerys, human as she is, begins to exhibit a rule of will over the rule of law she claims to live by, the Achilles heel of so many rulers before her. Wanting to show her opposition that she is a just and strict ruler to tone down their campaign against her, Daenerys puts the man responsible for slaughtering her people on trial instead of executing him on the spot like so many others. However, while he is awaiting his day in court, one of her soldiers, overwhelmed by his love and devotion for his queen, utilizes vigilante justice and takes the man's life. Showing what happens when someone disobeys her authority, Daenerys has her own man publicly beheaded as he begs for her mercy. But what is particularly enlightening about this scene is that while attempting to stand up for the rule of law, she's actually doing it a great disservice by denying her own soldier a trial. For the rule of law to exist, due process would have to be applied equally to each citizen. Instead, only those of higher ranks are given that right. That kind of sounds familiar.
Wow.
This angers her newly liberated slave soldiers as they realize they have traded one master for another. And where once the revolting slaves had written, "Kill your masters," in blood, underneath it now reads, "Miss Misa is master," referring to Daenerys. Did you have something you were going to say there, Lou?
No. I was just thinking. You heard me thinking, apparently. So, yeah,
I'm
continue.
Good at that. All right.
Yeah, I'll jump in.
For the entire duration of the show up until this point, I had believed Daenerys to be the most incorruptible character on the show. Sure, she kills people, but every character on the show killed, and at least Daenerys' intentions were purer than most. Not only had she spent most of her life in exile, she was, for all intents and purposes, a slave in her own right. And it goes on to give examples of the different things that happened to her and how we were made to feel sympathy for her character. But then it does go on to say she had become the same enemy she claimed to be against. Winter has always been coming. So long as there have been governments instituted among men, so has the threat of tyranny inevitably loomed around the corner. And as history and even fantasy fiction have shown, the only antidote to tyranny is constant vigilance. Winter is coming is the creed of the House of Stark. It is repeated often by both the Stark family and their northern supporters scattered throughout the Seven Kingdoms. It's an ominous warning to never let one's guard down or become complacent in the comfort of the present. Winter, or some other formidable foe, is always waiting in the wings. For the Starks, winter manifests itself in the fight for power, in which they are inevitably caught because of their noble origins. The Starks are unique in that they have never actively pursued the crown. Their main concern has always been the survival and maintaining their family honor. But unlike others, they do not seek the throne as the only means to their ends. Even when the dying king appoints Ned as the acting king until his son comes of age, Stark only agrees because the heir to the throne was a tyrant in waiting. While some members of the House of Stark have dabbled with power, Sansa especially, the family is in extreme juxtaposition to the other characters on the show. They seem to understand the nature of power and what those who seek it are willing to do. They also seem to understand the need for constant vigilance. They know there will always be those who fight for total and complete control, and that they themselves must always be prepared to fight back to uphold and protect their dignity as individuals. There will almost certainly always be an ongoing Game of Thrones in the real world. As people fight to obtain and maintain their power, the individuals are the ones who lose along the way. As Game of Thrones has so brilliantly shown us, so long as societies insist on having a king or a president or some ultimate authority figure, winter will always be coming, and it will come at the expense of the individual. And this was written by Brittany Hunter at fee.org, which is an excellently, really well-written article about a really good show.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. As I mentioned earlier, for my commentary portion of it, power is magnetic to the corruptible, and I've never seen this show before, and maybe in the wear and time I'll look into it. I just don't watch enough television to get into this stuff. I haven't seen Breaking Bad. I haven't seen El Breaking Bad O either. I'm way behind on all this stuff.
Yeah, but this show. Game of Thrones does kind of remind me of a few other shows, like we talked about during one of the breaks. You have seen a little bit of The 100, which is similar. It's kind of one of those follow the leader and fail type themes, just kind of recurs in that show. And there's also another show called Continuum, which I highly recommend because it's actually about a group of anarchists from the future who come back to the year 2012 to try to stop a global fascist government from forming. So.
Is that on Netflix or Amazon Prime or what?
Continuum?
Yeah.
It was on Netflix, I believe, and it should still be there.
All right, I'll take a look for it. But interestingly enough, if you go back to the story in The Lord of the Rings, you have the Ring of Power, and people are fighting to get the Ring of Power. And what happens is when they put on this Ring of Power, their inner tyrant comes out. And I personally think it's their true nature. But we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Again, I'm Shane, and I was here with Lou.
I'm still Lou.
He's still here. All right, good. And do we have some redemption in the third act, Lou?
I want to talk a little bit more about the Game of Thrones, and as we've mentioned before, I've never seen it, so I'm not familiar with all the different characters and everything else, but the concept of power, I was talking about the Lord of the Rings, and you have people that are trying to get the Ring of Power, and I believe Frodo, and part of the mythology of power is that there's always this one that can wear the ring and will be able to wield the power without it taking over. They'll be strong enough to resist it. And in the movies, and I haven't read the books yet, but I plan on doing that sometime soon. But in the movies, you see Frodo being tempted by it, kind of like Christ was tempted out in the desert. And he's fighting to keep from succumbing to this temptation. As a matter of fact, I believe there was a time where he had offered the ring to Gandalf and says, "Hey, would you like to carry it for a while, or would you like to wear it?" And Gandalf's response was, "Oh no, I might try to use it to do good." And that is the nature of power. There, a lot of Constitution folks, they love to quote John Adams, and roughly what he said was, "Our Constitution is fit only for a moral people," or something to that effect. Okay, so there's no moral people out there that can handle that. When you're looking at humans with power, what you have is the fallibility of humans, because humans are not angels. If men were angels, you'd have no reason to fear governments, because you won't have genocides and all this other stuff. You won't have people trying to impose state socialism. But the fact is, humans are fallible, and power is one of their weaknesses. It's actually kryptonite to the soul, because this great power, people are going to use it. They're going to try to use it to do good. And the good intentions paving company is going to leave everybody buried in concrete as they go through and try to do good. Because it's like so many different fables. Or even going back to the story of the Gollum. The Gollum was an idol that was created to protect the city, but it came to life and it took on a will of its own, and this protector became the tormentor, kind of like the modern governments that exist today, and then also these factions that you see in Game of Thrones. So when you're talking about how do you do this, no, you don't stay vigilant. Vigilant is the rancher that waits for the wolf to attack. No, you have to get rid of the wolf.
Right.
You'll never hear a rancher say, "Look, I'm sick and tired of losing cattle, but we have to have wolves. You know, we need to have wolves and just hope that they won't attack the cattle. You know, maybe they'll go do this, that, and the other thing. Maybe if we scribble the right words down on tree bark or something like that, the wolves will read it and they'll respect it. No. The nature of power is to do just like you described with, what's the woman's name?
Daenerys.
The rule of law is a myth because it's always subject to the interpretation of the interpreters. And it's not that it's so difficult to follow the rules that are set, to follow your own rules. It's just that it's so darn easy to do what you want to do because of necessity or expedience or laziness or whatever it is. This happens on a daily basis. I can't believe people are shocked when politicians blatantly violate the Constitution. They're like, oh my God, they're violating our Constitution. They violate it a million times. And you're hearing this from a guy who says that the Constitution authorizes an awful lot of the horrible stuff. But there is stuff that are actual violations, even if they're just technical violations and not complete violations. You know, for example, the NDAA 2012 talks about the president can lock people up. Well, indefinite detention is Article 1, Section 9, Clause 2. And, yeah, it gives the power to Congress instead of the president. But still, nobody should be able to lock people up without trial. I mean, granted, government shouldn't even exist. But, you know, to say, well, it's okay for the Congress to do it, but not the president. No, that's ridiculous. So humans are flawed. And as long as you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're going to keep getting the same thing. And it sounds like the direction of the show is that they're about to abandon this myth of legitimate authority.
I can only hope.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for coming on tonight, Shane, and thanks to everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Cusano.